Father, we thank you for the truth of your word and the skill that you've given to those who present these truths in song for us to use in worship. We pray that you'd speak into our hearts and our minds as we consider these things this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Would you like to sit? Well, as you've guessed from that prayer, we're continuing to look at some of the hymns that were voted for in our recent poll. And today is the turn of The Lord's My Shepherd. And that's the one which Stuart Townend wrote back in 1996. It's one of three hymns based on Psalm 23. One of three, anyway, that were voted for by our congregations. The others were, well, there's the one written by Francis Roos in 1650, which we usually sing these days to the tune of Crimond, although that was written about 200 years after the hymn, actually. And the other one is The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. So there's three based on Psalm 23 that were chosen. And of these three hymns, the most popular in the Thursday morning service was the one written in 1650, but it's the Stuart Townend hymn that was the most popular with this 9:30 Sunday congregation. So that's the one we're going to be looking at this morning. Well, it's a good hymn to sing, isn't it? Psalm 23 exudes peace and assurance, and the words and the tune of this hymn, I think, express this very well. The "I will trust in you alone" bit that's sung, it's sung and then echoed by female voices, isn't it? That seems to convey that sense of peace that's enjoyed by all those who belong to Christ. Interestingly, Stuart Townend says that he never set out to write this song. He'd been struggling with another song at the time and had been working on it for several hours without getting very far. So he took a break and he had a look at Psalm 23. And he says that as he was doing that, a simple melody popped into his head and the whole thing was written in about 10 minutes. He then went back to the job in hand and struggled to finish the other song. So he spent a long time doing the other song, but he says that's now pretty much been lost in the mists of obscurity. But The Lord's My Shepherd, which took him 10 minutes to write, has now been a favourite for nearly 20 years. And when we look at the song, we see that it's pretty faithful to Psalm 23. And I think that's another reason for its popularity. Sometimes you see that a song is claimed to be written based on a psalm, and when you actually look at the song, there's about one line in it that's one line from a psalm, and the rest of the hymn seems to be nothing to do with it. But when we look at this particular song, we see it's been very, very clearly faithful to the psalm all the way through. And I think that's another reason for its popularity, because after all, Psalm 23 is a popular psalm. So let's have a look and see why. It would be good if you could have two books open this morning. The Glory to God at Hymn 128. And our Bibles open at Psalm 23, which was, I think, page 553 in the Old Testament section. So page 553 in the Bible and 128 in the Glory to God. If we look at the first verse of the hymn, we can see that it actually corresponds to the first two verses and the first part of verse 3 of David's psalm. David starts by saying, and the hymn starts the same way, "The Lord's my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd." Of course, David had been a shepherd, So we might not be surprised that he uses this imagery. But you know, shepherd imagery was often used for gods and kings in ancient Eastern cultures. So this idea didn't originate with David. He'll have been well aware that this imagery was already used for many false gods that were around at the time. It may well be that David isn't just saying, Yahweh is my shepherd, but rather, Yahweh is my shepherd, declaring his faith in the one true God and rejecting the claims of all the others. And then having made this declaration, David proclaims that, because of it, I'll not want. When I shop at Waitrose, I'm sometimes asked at checkout, have you got everything you need? And I think, well, it's nice of you to ask, but I don't think that Waitrose will ever be able to supply me with everything that I need. However, we are able to look to the Lord to supply all of our needs. As Paul wrote to the Romans, he who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Well, I'll not want, because the Lord is my shepherd. Verse 1 of the hymn continues with, he makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters. Now, lying in green pastures and being led by still waters should pretty much be a daily routine for a sheep who's got a good shepherd, shouldn't it? So this part of the song, which is in verse 2 of Psalm 23, speaks of God's provision to us in our ordinary day-to-day life. We can sometimes lose sight of this and fail to appreciate God's goodness of us. Remember, Paul wrote to the Philippians, I've learned to be content in all circumstances. Sometimes I think we can be so grumbly, it's as if we've learned to be discontent in all circumstances. Perhaps that's just me. But when we are in green pastures, by still waters, let's remember to be grateful. Let's remember to give thanks to God. The last part of verse 1 in the hymn echoes the beginning of verse 3 in the psalm. He restores my soul. When we become a bit ragged, then we know we can always turn to Christ for restoration. He restores my soul. Well, let's move on to the second verse of the hymn, which we see starts with the second part of verse 3 from the psalm. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Stephen Mattia, Alec's little boy, once described living life without the gospel to be like living in a maze. He said, you know that it makes sense. There's order and arrangement and reason all around you. So it's obvious that it makes sense. But you're still lost. You can only find dead ends. Then the gospel comes and you begin to learn the map of the maze. He guides my ways in righteousness. Now, David wrote this psalm to Yahweh, but it equally applies to Jesus. Jesus claimed the mantle of Psalm 23 when he told his disciples, I am the good shepherd. There are many other religions and philosophies which offer to shepherd and guide us through the maze of life. But only Jesus is the good shepherd. Only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Only Jesus is able to guide our ways in righteousness. Now the rest of Townend's second verse jumps now to verse 5 of the psalm. And this speaks of the Lord's continual blessing and provision in all circumstances. In fact, the psalm goes further than that because it tells us that this is even in the presence of my enemies. The final verse of the hymn then jumps back to verse 4 of the psalm. Not all our life will be spent in green pastures by still waters. At times, we will find ourselves on the darkest path. Some of our paths that we need to walk through are very dark. It's one, we have to remember, it's one of the paths of righteousness. And it's then that we can know the comfort of his rod and staff, his guidance and his protection. So whether it's in pastures green or on a dark path, we know that our security is ultimately not in our circumstances, but in our shepherd. Notice that in entering a place of darkness, David goes from talking about Yahweh, he makes me lie down, he leads me, he restores, to talking to Yahweh. You are with me, your rod, your staff. It's more intimate. It's in times of darkness and distress that we seem so often to have a more intimate walk with Christ, even though actually he's always close. Whether or not this darkest path should be referred to as the valley of the shadow of death, as it is in some translations, is a matter of dispute. But we do know that we are still assured of the Lord's presence at our time of death. Actually, a hymn that I chose as one of my favorites has two lines which sums this up for me. No pang shall be mine, for in death, as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. Well, back to the hymn that we're looking at today, and we see that the final part of the psalm is written in the last two lines of the chorus. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. Yahweh's goodness and mercy pursues us throughout and beyond this life to our eternal home. Well, that just about covers it, except, well, what about the first part of the chorus? I will trust in you alone. It's a bit that I suspect most of us enjoy singing. I always wish I could sometimes have a go at singing the echo bit as well, but I'm not allowed. I will trust in you alone. What does that got to do with the psalm? We can't see those words anywhere in the psalm. But this is what the author said about this. I noticed that Psalm 23 uses a lot of movement imagery, walking, leading, following, and so on. That speaks to me of an active response of faith to what the psalm is saying. We are to live each day believing goodness and mercy are following us, that there are still waters and green pastures to be found. That's why I included a response in the chorus of I will trust in you alone. Well, it's a well-loved psalm and a well-loved hymn, and I think for good reason, and I hope we're going to sing it now.